and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porn of the Footnotes. This week, we have got the star of HBO's Westworld and self-proclaimed Rocky Flintstone superfan, Ben Barnes, is with us.
Yay!
Hello. Hello, I'm Ben Barnes, and here's my ass. I feel like everyone should have to say that now when they come on.
A rite of passage sentence to utter.
Oh, here's my ass, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't actually do what she did, though. You remained seated when you said it.
I did.
She didn't just say it. And Alice will rub her boobs all over it.
Acted all out.
My face has now gone the colour of Alice's hair and Jamie's shirt.
Oh, no.
He was once a fan of the Belinda Blink series. He's now leaving the building.
He was arrested in this posh office building for getting his arse out within 3 minutes of being there.
I love that you thought about it, though. You were like, I mean, I guess they're asking me, so maybe I should.
I really didn't think about it. Well, I don't want to be the one who didn't do it.
Yeah.
I've been picturing this.
You've been picturing this?
Yes, this moment. Because, like, you listen to... I don't know, how many episodes have there been now? In all?
A lot, actually, yeah.
Like...
Probably 40-ish?
40, including the footnotes as well. So yeah, 50 yeah, yeah. hours of listening to you guys, and now you're real here right in front of me.
What a disappointment.
No, do we disappoint, do we?
I bet it's
we
thrilling.
Do.
It's like animated Disney characters just became real people.
And I love that all the footnotes guests seem to like talk to each other like after the experience. So you were like, I was talking to Nick about it in Las Vegas, having a debrief. So how did it go for you?
That was way before we just started listening to it. That
oh,
was
really?
Years ago.
Was that back in the day?
Yeah.
We would like to one day, me and James were talking about this today.
We were.
To get all of our footnotes guests round for like a big dinner party.
Oh, yeah.
And just have everyone chip in and like discuss maybe when this whole saga finishes.
I'm not chip in for dinner. It's 20 quid each.
Dinner's on Rocky.
We'd love to do a kind of Dutch style where everyone has
brings a dish and 20 quid.
I didn't have a starter, so Ben. So we're coming towards the end of book three now. How have you found it?
I prefer it to book two.
Oh,
interesting.
I have to say, I don't quite know why. It's very, you were saying before, it's very, very erratic. Like, I thought that the last chapter
erotic.
Was
erratic, yeah.
Erratic.
Tick. Okay.
Erratically.
Maybe that's what he's writing. Erratic literature.
Oh my god, it's erratica.
It's erratica.
Oh, for God's sake. It's taken us 3 years to get there. He
ben,
finally
thank
makes sense.
Oh, shining light on that.
I feel so much better. My dad's just writing erratica. It's fine.
That's amazing.
Oh my god.
What a sense of relief. It makes sense as to why business is such a huge part of it. Okay, fine. So why have you found book three erratic?
I think he's decided to write a story. But things happen, sort of. Also, the voices have just improved vastly.
Oh.
I think Ken Jewsbury, like, you should play him. Like, that's brilliant.
Oscar
that voice is perfect.
Worthy.
It's nice to, like, be a long-term, like, blinker and be like, now it's actually you're trying to improve on bits of it, which is, like, so British and endearing and lovely. But, like, you're working on the voices now, which
best.
Is a thing. Like, I feel like you're probably practicing now.
I'm not I don't really practice, and it does show, I feel. I do a couple of run-ups sometimes.
I'm kind of with you, Ben. I think he's in his room, like, workshopping it.
I recorded one, like, talking book once. It was, like, a children's book. I can't remember, but I had to do like 40 voices in it because it was like, you know.
All right. They got their money's worth.
Yeah. They do not pay well, though. Because they're like, oh, great, I'll read it and it'll take me half a day or whatever. Yeah. But then you realise you've got to do like 40 hours of prep because otherwise you're going like, what are you doing? He whispered. Oh, shit. Go back.
Yeah, I find that. And also what I find really hard is that, and what's great about my dad's writing is that characters are there for a chapter and then fuck off and never come back. So I'd actually have to deal with remembering any
accents. Consistency.
Yeah, I can just do it in the day and then I forget all about them, which is great.
But you've also been asked to do some accents which are not, don't exist. As have I in my career so far.
Which crazy ones have you been asked to do?
I did in one of the Narnia films and not the following one because the director said that accent sounds really stupid.
Prince Caspian went for elocution lessons between the two
between
movies.
Between movies two and three. I did. They went, don't do that. And I went, okay. That was literally how the conversation went. Michael Apted, who's the director, went, we're not going to do that. And I was like, but it's part of the sort of the character that, but no. Well, we'll find someone who does. All right, then I won't do it anymore.
They wouldn't have dared.
And admittedly, it was a...
So you went from,
accent.
So give us a little blast of it.
I basically based it a little bit, in the audition anyway, I remember watching The Princess Bride the night before. Oh, yeah. So I go, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. And I was like, oh, that was close enough for an audition anyway.
Sure.
And then I started shooting and they were like, so we want like a sort of a Spanish kind of accent like this. And then they cast a bunch of Italians and like other people from other countries as my family. And they were like, oh, God. Just sort of meld it to be a bit like...
European-ish.
And I was like, this is offensive to someone.
Is such a rocky phrase.
For everyone.
Definitely offensive to someone.
But then just gear change.
Yeah, and then the third film, I'm just me. Just no accent at all.
I just want to rewatch them now.
What, just to be spiteful, you didn't act at all? You're like, I'm just going to be me then.
No, I still did all... I still had the hair and everything.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
You did acting hair.
There's a sort of understanding that with actors, like, you're just allowed to have an opinion about their work. Like, you can't go into a shop and be like, I don't like how you stack the shelves.
Yeah. Everyone's allowed to be a critic because that's half the fun of watching TV or a film or reading a book is that you're allowed an opinion.
Do you read the reviews?
I haven't read a review in about 10 years.
Fortunately.
Oh, now I want to know what that one was. What the one 10 years ago
That
was.
One, I don't mind saying it really because it was. I did a film version of Dorian Gray.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it was not particularly well received in the press. I think some of the nastiest things that have ever... probably the worst review you have ever read.
Oh, no.
What did they say, Ben?
I mean, they're seared into my memory. And I almost didn't do any more acting after that because it was like all on one day they came out and I had to be at a premiere and get on a plane. And it was just like a horrendous day. But I don't know if... Has Rocky had to deal with any criticism at all?
This.
Apart from the podcast itself.
This isn't criticism. This is a celebration.
It is a celebration.
A weekly celebration.
And we do it with love. No, people love my dad. He's got cult status. Like, everyone wants to... Like you say, celebrate Rocky Flintstone's writing.
My favourite thing last week was when you tried to skip through dialogue as if he's never written it. That's my favourite thing, because you can hear the colour of your face in the headphones.
Peace.
And I love it.
It's horrible. Like, could you imagine it? Just put yourself in my position for like 5 minutes.
You've asked me that. I brought you something.
Oh.
Well, I brought Rocky something, a gift.
Oh.
It's not actually from me, but you're not the only one. We're in a similar-ish sort of position, if you see this book here.
A Woman's Guide to Loving Sex
by Tricia Barnes.
No.
Oh, my God.
This book was published in 1991, when I was 10 years old.
I actually can't breathe.
Thanks very much, Mum. And you can see in the front, she wrote, Dear Rocky, I hope Belinda finds love. Best wishes, Tricia. And she crossed out
that's a little
15
biog.
Years experience and put 40 years experience as a sexual and marital counsellor because this book is so old. And she was like, well, I have to change it.
I have to update the bio.
Yeah, exactly.
Legend.
I should add that she's a little bit embarrassed of this book now because she's like, it's 25 years old or something.
And I don't think it's aged today.
Things have moved on.
Yeah.
The bodies are still the same.
The advice is still good. My mum gives the best advice of any human there has ever lived.
Her carnal knowledge knows no bounds.
But... there are some tidbits in here which I feel, A, are very helpful for Rocky, but also some quite good advice for Belinda. And I remembered this when you texted me.
You are joking. Will you read us the blurb?
Yeah. A Woman's Guide to Loving Sex is the book every woman will want to read, companion to a major video setting new standards in this controversial field.
A major video?
Where's VHS. The video? It was a VHS. I saw it. When I was 11, scarred for life. It is specifically for women and about women, examining relationships from the female perspective.
Wonderful. And there's a little checklist of things it includes. Can you tell us on the back there, what's on the checklist?
A Woman's Guide to Loving Sex considers the management of loving.
The management of loving.
The
Belinda
business
does.
The management of loving.
Doesn't say business, but yes. Contraceptive choices.
Mm-hmm. There's many.
Rarely mentioned in this book. Common sexual problems, sex and pregnancy, childbirth and parenthood.
Oh, wow. Full
affairs
spectrum.
Outside your main relationship, the menopause, sex, and the older woman.
Oh, wonderful.
It is a cradle to grave sexual manual for women.
What a book to have on the coffee table when your friends come round at 11.
But I was looking through it and I found a couple of things.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
There's pen and ink type drawings of couples.
Engaging.
So one is a man lying down and... A lady is...
It's called reverse cowgirl.
Yeah, we all know.
We know.
Reverse cowgirl.
All right.
No, you were skirting around it. Definitely knew.
Then we don't all know, okay?
So talk to me about when you first discovered that Trish had penned this.
I think I may have found the VHS first. I do remember, though, I think they filmed her interview for the VHS in our house. And I just remember being sort of, you know, 10 or 9 or something, and being like told I wasn't allowed in that room today. And there was like lots of people sort of milling around.
So quite exciting, because you didn't really know what it was about.
I didn't know what was going on. And then I remember finding the VHS and like trying to play it. And I remember it being, there being like, softcore, like,
oh, reenactments.
Wow. Reenactments, but then it would suddenly cut to my mum talking about it. So even at 10 or 11, I was like, turn it off, turn it off.
Don't watch this, Ben. Because when you're that age,
like, softcore is like as hot as it gets. You kind of a bit like, when you're 11. This is great. Yeah. And then your mum suddenly pops up. Fucking hell.
Oh my God.
That's the stuff of nightmares, isn't it? Like sexual arousal and your mum being like, no, no.
Did people know? Did like your friends know and things, or?
I don't really remember anyone particularly bringing it up. I mean, they knew what she did for a living. So I think they were like, your mum does sex. Well, yeah, so does yours. Otherwise you wouldn't be here.
What a great comeback.
I'm not sure I ever was precocious enough to actually say that, but that's what I would say now at 35. I would say that. Yeah. Now I thought of it.
And I feel like this has genuinely put you both in a minority, like a quite close clique now.
I like that you feel like you're open to share your experiences. I think we should encourage more people in the world
to come out and say it.
Yeah. And say, my parent writes about sex. And we could be an army.
Oh my God.
We could be the Unsullied.
Would we be on the same team though? Because my mum knows about it.
And oh my God, should we leave the room, Alice?
It's a broad church.
I'm just saying, listen, this is, I mean, I sort of brought this gift in an advisory capacity, so maybe.
Trish is going to consult.
There are diagrams of like where the cervix is and stuff.
Really?
In there. Really?
Well, the thing is, like, this is the thing. My dad really never diagrams. Read this book, clearly, and he should have done.
Clearly.
And hopefully, by the time he gets onto Belinda Blink 5, he'll have read the book.
Although my dad does enjoy saying that it was the only people ever to lose money on a sex video.
I really want to see the VHS.
I want to see it as well.
So we didn't know that you were going to be a complete expert on being the offspring of a sex writer. So, I mean, already you go into the Hall of Fame as being like Amazing. A fantastic guest. But we actually thought, as you're here and you're going to go back to LA, you know, whenever, and, you know, forget about us in your posh Hollywood Hills house. We should
you come and record there as well.
Is it good acoustics?
I don't know.
He's never done a podcast.
Very high ceilings, a lot of marble. Yeah. It'd be shit.
It's a bit echoey, probably.
You're like, it's very swanky. Does sound bounce off swank?
Swank sounds like a dirty word.
Oh, God. He's having a massive swank.
You said before we started, everything's going to sound like a quote from this book.
It really is.
And it does. We wondered if you could help us with a little task.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're from the world of acting, we wondered if you could help us do some casting for the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're coming to the end of book three now, and there's loads of new characters. I think in series one we thought about who we'd cast for different roles, but there's a whole host of new characters in series three.
And you still don't have a Belinda.
Exactly. Well, first off, do you want a role? And if you wanted a role, who would it be?
Well, bloody Nick Holt came up with what I thought was my really clever Adam idea. But then I was torn between him and, as you know, I love the accent challenge. So I thought maybe the Marco.
Really? Marco Rodriguez.
Well, here's the thing. You two...
Yes, hi.
...were obviously fairly disgusted by Marco, but then also both a little bit swoony about him when he's got going for the first time.
Marco.
He was the only character that anyone was like, oh, he sounds all right. So I was like, I'll have that. I'll have that. That's easier.
So you think you're hot enough to play Marco, Ben?
I can't remember anything about what he does other than, like, think she's classy for lying on the street.
Tarmac.
Rolling in the tarmac.
The sunblush tarmac.
Because he was Jim Sterling's plastic surgeon, of course.
See, I could do that, play a surgeon.
Yeah.
Have you played a surgeon before?
No, see, new territory. Mm. I like a challenge.
You could just use your Prince Caspian voice from the first film.
Well, just turn up and just do it. Just wing it.
Okay, so you're Marco Rodriguez. Great. So, could you?
See, you're getting desperate now because everyone else you said, "Well, are you?" Or we'll see the screen test. And with me, you're like, "Yeah, fine, fine, you can do that." And
we need to get
is there
him
anything
cast.
Else you could do because this is upcoming. We've got deadlines.
Yeah, exactly.
We've hired the
Our
crew.
Our financing is about to fall out the bottom of this thing. All right, we need to get everyone cast.
That's by the way, all you ever hear.
Yeah,
that's every conversation ever in Los Angeles.
We're about to lose all the money.
Yeah.
Turns out we have no money to lose. But who else?
Well, do you? I think all three of you have to play a role of. Obviously, and no one ever asks you who
in the film
you would want to play. Obviously, if you're this desperate, you're all going to have to chip in and play
That's
someone,
true.
Aren't we?
Well, I know who I'd like. I'd like Helga.
Yeah. You would be a good Helga.
Well, because I can't act and I embody Helga. So
you could
like,
bring your own knitwear.
I could provide my own costume. I feel like I live Helga anyway, so that would be really easy. Yeah. I actually think, Jamie, you would make a great Dr. Robbins, but it's already been taken.
Fuck off.
It's been taken twice.
No, I think I should be Andy Milston then.
Yeah,
yes.
I was going to say.
I think you've got the voice for it.
Thanks.
Yeah, you might need to be aged. I feel like he's old.
They can age me up.
Yeah.
You know.
Prosthetics.
Daisy Ridley's in prosthetics to be the Duchess. I can do Andy Milston.
Good.
Leave
good,
it with me.
Very fine. Good point.
Yeah. Really, James should be the youngest man, but that's gone too.
That's gone.
What about one of the old cowboys?
One of the old
Steak and Tits.
The ranch hands.
Oh, Steak, Ayers and Tits.
Oh, no,
you could be Hank Skank.
Hank Skank. Can it be
no,
Hank
you
Skank?
Can't be Hank Skank. You've got the accent, James. You haven't got the range.
By the way, James looks so forlorn at being so rejected. This is what it's like, James.
This is the actor's life.
Yeah.
It's a dog's life.
You had a very small window into what it's like.
Oh, yeah, the audition.
You had the rejection role, process. It got snatched away from you immediately. No, okay, you could be Hank Skank if you want.
Yeah, I'll take Hank Skank.
Or Virgil?
You can be Virgil.
Virgil is such a bit part. That's such... How dare you?
James, it's not about... It's what you make of the role, right,
well,
Ben?
You'll be a producer slash performer as well. So you'll be busy. So you probably want to take
such a fob off. That's clearly what they say to actors, where they're like...
We'll give you producer credit if you shut up. Oh, God.
And what does that involve?
No, remember how you promised to shut up and fuck off?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of some of the new characters in this book.
There's
so
a whole host
gonna play,
of new people.
Who's going to play what I think is the prime cameo of the sound man at the O2?
The
I don't know why he's really
black.
Stuck with me.
Who did you
well,
want?
Well, I, with Nick, I said that maybe James McAvoy could play him.
Mm, yeah.
But maybe he isn't. He
can play a lot of things,
enough.
Though, couldn't he? I feel like you need to give him something meaty.
We can't
you need
waste
to give him the
James.
Flesh of
yeah,
mankind
right.
or blue ejaculate or something.
Yeah.
Something meaty.
Mm.
No, I know who could play Alfie.
Who?
And you might have worked with him, I think, maybe.
Okay.
Peter Dinklage.
Yes. Oh, yes, I have.
That's such
he's
a good
He'd be great.
He's the most wonderful man in the world.
Would he do it? Do you reckon? Would he be up for it? Is this a sort of project
he's got
he'd be
attracted to? An amazing naughty sense of humour, so I imagine so.
And he's just about to finish Game of Thrones, so he'll be
So
free.
He's going to need a job.
He needs a follow-on project that's going to be as big as Game of Thrones, Belinda blinked. It's a franchise, guys.
And plus, it's a cameo. You only need him for 3 hours.
Okay, done. Peter.
Klaus Block. I've always had in mind...
Klaus.
Christoph Waltz to play Klaus
Christoph Blatt. Waltz
do anything though
double you? Oscar winner
yeah. Stop saying he could do anything though. That's what you said about McAvoy. He could do anything though.
Okay, so who else is there?
Madeleine Chocolat. Okay, French.
Oh, I think Eva Green, or Ava Green as you're supposed to say.
I was going
to
say Marion Cotillard.
Same
Isn't she a bit...
Not same
They're interchangeable.
I jest.
Isn't she a bit like broader, I think?
Marianne.
No, Madeleine.
It's broader.
Does Madeleine involve nudity?
Madeleine Chocolat.
Everyone
involves nudity.
We know Ava Green's all right with that, don't we?
Oh, that is true.
She loves it, doesn't she? Get them out.
Broader. We're going to offend
you can't
someone
say
now.
That, Ben.
Yeah. You said it.
You said it.
I said she's all right with it, clearly, because she has a history of it. You're the one who said
she's
got, bloody loves
she's
it.
She's got previous.
She's got previous.
Oh, my God, have you ever had to do nudity in a film?
Yes.
Well, Westworld.
Oh, yeah, you had to ride off him.
I did. And they sometimes give you a little pouch.
Michael Sheen told us about the pouch.
The pouch, yeah. And if they need to see, like, side of...
flesh.
Kind of thigh and hip.
Flesh, thigh and hip area, or from the back, then you can't wear it as a thong. You have to stick it on...
Oh...
with bits of double-sided, basically.
No.
And sometimes a costumer will say, do you need any help? Do you want me to do it? And you think, no, I'm all right with that. Thanks. I'll stick it on myself. But if you're doing
that's
an activity...
That's where Alfie would come and help for.
Yes, I need
Peter Dinklage on set
Dinklage
now.
Immediately to tape this to my underside of my balls.
Oh, wow.
And then if you're doing any kind of activity, like, especially if you're riding a horse... The very first day of that, they slapped the horse's arse and it galloped off. And then the little pouch just went... And I sat down my head and watched it go and just looked back thinking, I hope someone brings that to me. Because for the decency of the crew, really. I mean, you know, if I'm naked on a horse, but so what?
The decency of the horse, really.
Yeah. It was a saddle.
Oh, my God, you were bareback.
No, there was a saddle.
No, you were Rocky bareback. Bareback in Rocky's world is
bareback in Rocky's
no
world
pants.
Is completely wrong. Oh, yes, of course. What did he say was bareback? Oh, I'm commando.
Yeah.
Just means, no knickers.
How many takes was it?
I probably only rode off about four times.
That was enough.
That was enough, though, yeah.
And will you be riding back naked?
I think it's all right to say I am going to do a little bit more in
You're
season
two. You're back in Westworld.
Yeah. I've only read one scene with myself in it, and it is not naked on a horse.
Oh, damn.
But beyond that, I don't know.
He's found some clothes.
Logan somewhere. Will be dressed.
Logan will be dressed.
Spoiler!
For one scene at least.
Yeah, exactly. For the rest of it, we'd be completely bald naked, but you know.
Bald naked.
Yo, who's bald naked again?
Everyone's bald naked.
Well, Ben, you've been amazing. Thanks for swinging by. We've loved chatting
with you. It has been a dream come true.
Thanks for the book. Rocky's going to love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
Jamie, Ben, I think you two should take each other's numbers and kind of have a little
Can you help
group.
Me through this, this hard therapy. Time?
Be each other's therapy.
Amazing. I'm in for it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben Barnes.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Down, 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 down.
Ben, you need to chill out.
Sorry.